What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 95. Today, I interview Jules Danilak all the way from Australia. This guy has two major specialties, one of them being storytelling. He is actually the host of the Storytelling Secrets podcast, and he uses stories in a way for businesses to explain their origin story or just stories that are relevant to explaining their offer and doing more for their business than just being a story. And this is a very necessary skill, honestly, nowadays, because to cut through the noise on social media, you can't always just be like, buy our product. You have to ease people into it. And storytelling is a great skill to hone so that you can do so. And then his other major skill is email marketing. So we dive into some of the email marketing statistics that will be really valuable for those of you that are already doing email marketing in some capacity. And we also talk about how you can get started if you're not already doing so, as well as how Instagram plays into the whole thing. So Jules is not as much of an Instagram guy. He's more of a LinkedIn and email and storytelling guy, but I wanted to bring him on because I can't stress enough how important it is that you guys be collecting emails from Instagram so that you can really utilize the full marketing potential of social media in general. Okay, it's using Instagram as a traffic source to not just tell them about sales of your product and things like that, but to grab email so that you can warm your audiences up to your offer more. So wanted to bring him on so that we could get an expert in the field to help you guys get a feel for how you can get started by leveraging Instagram to start collecting emails. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, guys, I'm here with Jules Dan. He is not an Instagram specialist, but I wanted to bring him on because we need to also expand what we are learning about. You guys hear me all the time talk about how you got to get into email marketing and some of the other social media platforms. And Instagram is a killer traffic source, but using it in combination with these other platforms is really how to build a brand that is built to last. And Jules is actually more of an expert on the LinkedIn platform. He also runs the podcast called Story Selling Secrets, and you can kind of guess what that's about from the title. And we're going to be dissecting how you guys can turn your message into a story that people are willing to listen to and can learn about your business from a different standpoint rather than you just saying, we sell this product and we sell this product and that's our company. It's a little bit more about how to actually talk up your brand in a proper way that people want to hear. And he's also a beast at copywriting and email marketing. So we are going to be utilizing all of that, and really all those copywriting skills are going to be used to even write your Instagram captions better, because it's just about how do we write to captivate people's attention. So I'm sure you guys are going to love them by the end of this interview. But Jules, how you doing today, my man?
Derek, it is going really, really well. And I'm super pumped to have me on the show and teach your audience a few cool little tips about story selling and storytelling.
Yeah, dude. Stoked to have you on. You are the first person who I've interviewed from Australia.
Yes.
So what is it, like 2 a.m. there right now?
No. It's 7:52 a.m.
Okay.
Really good time. I'm a morning person.
Sweet, so man.
You call me at the best time possible.
5 p.m. for me. So one of the few times that we can actually do this and find a time that we're both awake and not about to go to bed or something like that. So glad you're a morning person and glad to have you on. Before we get into the meat and potatoes, let's just hear a little bit about your entrepreneur story, because I think a lot of people would really connect with, most of the people listening to the show. Some of them are full-time, a lot of them are part-time, and a lot of them are really just trying to start their entrepreneur journey. And it's a transition that you made recently in spite of recent events with the coronavirus and everything. So just give us a little bit of a backstory of how you got into this business.
Yep. Okay. So I've always been a personal trainer, a group fitness instructor, and I've just tried to make this online business thing happen for, it's probably been like 2.5 years. And I'd say like 2018, after a long trip overseas, I was really inspired to just contribute back and start a business. And I started doing Facebook ads for local businesses. I got some good results. I got some not so good results. Went through the gauntlet of learning how to handle clients, how to do Facebook ads. I don't know why, but I never actually learned how to do copywriting. The person I was learning off was just teaching how to do giveaways, coupons. And at the time, that just seemed to be working for the type of clients I had. And then that came to an abrupt halt when I was working. I just had one client at the time, and he was a restaurant owner, had a few restaurants, and we were doing a few giveaways, doing a few coupons. And then I decided after 2 weeks of back and forth negotiation, I really wanted to run with the story about the restaurant and use that as a different hook to bring people in. Mm. And it worked really well. I remember I have this great video of an Excel sheet and then all these leads just going bing, 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 just down the sheet on like live stream. It was so good. I was super pumped, very happy. A few days later, that business owner rang me and said, "Hey, Jules, I'm really sorry. We're $400,000 in the red and we're shutting everything down next week." And I was like, I was just trying to get used to this. I thought I was just trying to get good. But I'm sure you're aware of this, Derek, that sometimes that I don't know if you work with local business clients, but I personally felt like I wasn't treated like a business partner. I was more like just a transaction. And that's not really what I wanted to, that's not really why I want to go into business. So I changed my who. I wanted to work with more, I wasn't really sure who I wanted to work with. So I got inside this Facebook group with a bunch of really driven entrepreneurs, more like coaches, infopreneurs, consultants, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, service providers. And they were really fired up and they really embraced marketing. And so I remember I went to that Facebook group. I posted a little story about my life and I needed some clients. And I got 4 clients from that post and that post got taken down straight away. But I managed to interact with those people before that post got shut down. And so I kind of got started working with those guys, trying to do bots and chatbots and storytelling inside of that. And it was really, really interesting because I was able to do some chatbot story launches. It sounds a bit convoluted, but back before Facebook didn't have as many policies, you were able to follow up and message them without any penalties. And so I got really excited because, you know, out of those 4 people, one was actually, you know, followed through when you ask for like a free work, there's only so many people actually commit the whole way through. And one person committed the whole way through and we put a lead magnet on her Facebook group. Had like 115 people go through, 65 went through to a book a call just through telling a story and getting people to just get sucked in inside of the story. And then it was really, really cool. I thought I was king of the world, got a great result. Went to launch my podcast. At the same time, I was trying to launch a coaching course, like how to actually pull this off. And it failed spectacularly. Awesome. Nobody bought. I look like a fool. I grew a mini list in a Facebook group in the process, but nobody bought. And I figured out that I asked a lot of people and they said, "Jules, we love the story stuff, but I just do not want to touch the tech side and I don't want to get involved with all the ever-changing policies of Facebook." I'm like, fair enough. Even I'm having a hard time keeping up with all these policy changes. And so, Derek, I was really stuck. This is 2019 now, probably about December, January. And I remember I was just at the beach just feeling like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Like, this is my time off from my group fitness instructing. And I noticed that emails that I just looked at my inbox. I'm like, everyone's following up with me and there's no rules. I'm like, geez, I should just try email. I should just go back to email. And then that's when I just started to ask a few people, kind of do some test projects so I can get some results. And then I started to slowly build a client base. And then, fast forward now. So since January, now we're doing email copywriting with lots of storytelling. And I do lots of storytelling inside of my content on LinkedIn. And yep, that's the story to Julian right now.
I like it. And I think what's important to learn about your story and pretty much every entrepreneur story I ever hear from people is you started with doing the storytelling for that restaurant. It closed down. Necessary part of your story. Then you started doing the chatbot with the technical interference and you ran into these customer objections. Necessary part of your story. Like all of these, you know, failures or whatever were just really, they're not really failures, but just more like closing of doors to finally lead you to like, here's actually like where you can help people the most. And the biggest problem that you can solve is generally going to be how you get paid the highest as well. So now you're more into email marketing. Let me ask real quick about chatbots, because I do have a chatbot. When people download my viral posting guide, that's where it comes through. Working great. And then I know like in March of this year is really where all the big changes rolled out. Are you still using chatbots at all, or have you completely abandoned ship? Because like one person I talked to at a conference, he's like, dude, it's not going to change that much. Everyone's freaking out. It's not going to change. And like, I've heard mixed things. Like, what's your opinion on it?
I haven't given an ounce of energy, to be honest, Eric, because I remember I was giving so much energy keeping up with all the changes. And I was like, I don't have time for this. So to put a short answer, I wasn't even aware there was a big change in March. So like, I'm sure there is definitely a way to, there's always a way to get around it and there's always a way to make it work. But for me personally, no.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've seen that there's a few things now that are rolled out. Like you have to do like a message, like an engagement message before you can like go into like asking for like a yes or no. I mean, don't quote me on this, people listening, but like it's just an ever-changing thing. And if you guys don't know what a chatbot is, it's basically just an automated Facebook Messenger bot where someone says, hey, blah, 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 did you want to see this thing? And you can click yes or no. And it's really cool. And it like the reason why it's so beneficial is because you get to have like more of a conversation with people. And they were saying, you know, more of these get open than email marketing and stuff like that. But it's also kind of because it was new. You know, like when email marketing was new, it was like 90% open rate. People just like weren't used to like, no, that's not, it's not marketing. It's a Facebook message, you know?
Yeah.
So
100%. And if I just add a little note there, that novelty is what caused that huge craze at the start. And everyone was like, bots, bots, bots. Because of that craze and hype, there were so many bad apples that got in the mix and just sending spammy stuff. And it put a real bad taste in a lot of people's mouth when like, oh, this is a chatbot campaign. Like, I know what this is all about. And that's from just talking to people. That wasn't my opinion. So I went to a conference. A lot of people were mentioning like I'm hesitant about bots. But you can make it work if you try not to make it spammy and you actually make it engaging and conversational. Paul Ace is a good guy to follow, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's people that are still crushing it with it. I still enjoy it for multiple different things. And of course, any kind of just organic audience, apart from just having people in one place, I'm all about too. You know, I got like 600 subscribers on my bot and it's like, cool. That's just like, you know, protecting my audience. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today with getting email marketing in the loop with things. Before we get into that, some people are like, okay, I get it. Like you tell stories, and like it helps you sell stuff, but like maybe give me an example of like a story that you tell, whether it be about you or maybe even like of this restaurant, like what was the fix that all of a sudden, you know, like I love giveaways and they're great. And there's like a lot of other things, but like you really got to get every single component of your business. Every marketing strategy can be done better with better copy, because like, even like when I teach people to run a giveaway, I don't say like, don't just be like giveaway, enter now, you know, like say this and this and like give a story of why you're running the giveaway to help people, you know? And so give us like an example of a story just so people can be like, okay, I see what we're talking about.
No, absolutely. So that's a really good point. You have to justify why you're giving away something.
Yeah.
But for this one, they had a new menu and they wanted to obviously give away a banquet or something like that. So I suggested we tell the story of how these specialty foods came in and what the training was like of these chefs so they could prepare this. And then what went into getting the restaurant nice and ambient for them and what their experience would be like. A lot of future pacing in there. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't like a deep emotional story. Like, I ate the tuna and I cried with joy. Like, it wasn't.
Okay. Okay. But it could be like, that could be an example, even if like a lot of companies are founded because the person was solving a problem that they had, you know, and then they brought it to the world. You know what I mean? Rather than just, oh yeah, I heard that selling fidget spinners, it was a good way to make money. Like, they're like, oh, I struggled with back pain and I invented this CBD cream and then I brought it to the market. You know, like, that's kind of like an example of how, like you write sometimes those emotional stories.
Yes. For my personal content, I do that. I haven't actually yet to do that with a client. Okay. Mainly we've just been trying to tie in like their everyday life and then segue inside of an email into their product. But I will be doing that sort of like deep emotional story very, very soon. But happy to go into other areas of using everyday life and trying to sell or bridge into other stuff.
And that's probably better for people to hear because not everyone has that emotional story. You know, they're like, oh yeah, I wanted to be an entrepreneur and like, this is makeup's a good niche and I got into it, you know, but it's still, there is more of a story behind it. It doesn't have to be like, I was trying to solve the world hunger problem, you know? So I know something that you tell me that you're good at is when you work with a client is interviewing them in a way to extract that story. What are some of the ways that anyone listening right now, if they're like trying to make this interactive, what are some questions they can ask themselves so they can bring more clarity to what their story could be?
Yep. Okay. So if someone's interviewing them, or are they interviewing their client?
They're interviewing themselves. Like, what would they ask themselves? Like, or like, what would you ask them when you get them on the horn to, you know, figure out what their story is?
Yeah. Okay. First off, I would highly recommend that you would get a good friend to interview you. And I say good friend because you want to have that good relationship with that person you're talking to. Cause they need to bring your barriers down so you can reveal your insecurities, your deepest, darkest secrets. Maybe you can do it on your own, if you're honest enough. But a framework that I go through a lot in my podcast is before you like, I could hand you a bunch of questions, Derek, but you miss the juicy details if you don't have these four steps, if you're trying to be a really good interviewer. And the first one's rapport. Like I mentioned, you have to have that initial rapport, warming up beforehand. That's always a really good idea, like just like we did on our call. The second step is you got to have each other's attention, like phones away, 100%. You can't have people yapping in the background, quiet room. That's really, really important because if you feel like how bad is it when you have a conversation, Derek, and at like a cafe or something, and they're on their phone? Like, the quality of he's doing it right now, the quality of the conversation is just astronomically lower. It's not good.
Yeah.
When it comes to really sort of just getting these juicy answers, how can you do that if you're not getting each other's full attention? Third step is all about body language and paraphrasing. Like, I have a whole bunch of stories that go with these, but I know you want to cover lots and lots of stuff, so I'll just go over the cliff notes. So if you want to check out the full sort of story, go to Storytelling Secrets. But anyway, the third bit is all about body language and paraphrasing. So say a really common mistake, Derek, is that let's just say I've got these questions and you're telling your story and I'm going to be the person asking the questions. It's really, really common for someone in your situation to just tell the whole story. And for the person me asking the questions is too afraid to butt in and sort of get them to slow down. Because the whole role of the interviewer is to really clarify what they're saying with succinct and with brevity. So they're not really waffling on. That makes sense. So an example might be, you might just say, hey, I felt like a failure. And then you might want to clarify in a different way. Like, so you felt like a failure because, and then you just fill in the blank. And then once you see that person say yes, with like a face of, I get it, like, yes, that's right. Then you really nailed an authentic answer right there. But if they get, kind of get this confused face and you get that body language, you can still see it over the Zoom. You want to try and clarify it a bit differently until I get that, I get it face. Does that make sense?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last step, of course, is you've got to be following up with why. So important. I'll just go back onto that example there. A lot of people on my podcast, they'll say that I'll ask them the motivation for change, for wanting to start a business venture, for example. And a really common answer is, I felt like a failure. But then I'll follow up with why, and it'll come, I'll say, why did you feel like a failure? And they'll give me an answer. I'll say, okay, why did you feel like that? Whenever someone has a feeling, you always, always, always have to butt in and say, okay, why did you feel like that? And it's really fascinating because I felt like a failure often transforms into one, I wanted to provide for my family or for my future family. Oh, I didn't want to be that person who couldn't do it. Or two is that I wanted to be mentally present with my spouse or my partner and not be always focused on work. And so like those are two completely different things from I felt like a failure. Mm-hmm. So that's like a quick rundown of the real responsibility of an interviewer and the type of questions. Well, we can just get into that in just a bit, but have you heard of anything like an interview style questions like that or interview like that before?
I know that asking the why is super important, and even asking like why and then asking why again, and maybe even going multiple layers deep will often reveal those actual reasons. Like you said, you know, I felt like a failure. Why? Okay. Then why this and why that? And then it can go down to like this exact, like, now here's the story. Well, because one day my wife said, I haven't gotten your attention in years, and it feels like you're always, you know, half present with me thinking of this. And then there's like the start of your story right there. And you're just extracting it with the whys. So something that I've maybe not struggled with, but I've been like, okay, I don't know where does my story start and where should it end? Because maybe I'm like, ever since I was 7 years old, I knew I was an entrepreneur when I mowed lawns. Like I could start there. I could start, my first entrepreneur adventure was this sales job. How is there something that you can, like everyone's got so many stories, right? Where should a story start and end? Maybe this is a great question. Maybe it's not that good of a question.
Perfect question. Okay, yeah. Cool. Because little backstory. I remember I was going through this framework when I was still ironing out little bugs in it, and this happened. Okay, so we were going through it, and we weren't really clear what the ending was. And I remember it was just going on and on and on for about 45 minutes. And then I remember she said, "Okay, wait. This story can go in two different directions." And then she also said, "Look, I have to go now. We'll reschedule." And like the whole thing was just like, it just ruined the whole momentum. So what I would really recommend is that begin with the end in mind. I learned that very quickly. Okay. Be very clear. What's that transformation? What's the objective that you want to have for that story? Okay. Be very, very clear with that. So is it a transformational? Is it inspirational? Is it showing a result? Normally it's transformational in terms of a character. They had to overcome their own personal bullcrap, and because of that, they're able to achieve a specific result. And that specific result on character change is what, say, your ideal customer can see themselves doing as well. And be very, very clear at the start when you say doing this interview, okay, what's that transformation you want to achieve for your ideal customer? And they're clear with you, then you can lead them in that direction. Does that answer your question?
Uh-huh. And when you figure out that end, it probably tells you where you should start too, because then you're like, okay, unless, like, just start as early as you need to that is in line with the purpose of the ending. Because maybe I'm really just trying to say, and that's why you should never give up. And I don't need to go back to when I was 7 years old and knew I was an entrepreneur because of this or whatever. Like, you, it kind of tells you where to start as well, just figuring out the end, would you say?
Yeah. And I really like to recommend at this, like, because you could go back to when you were 7 years old, but you would be here till the next decade, basically. Mm-hmm. So I always like to recommend, can you take me to a point of high drama or when it was really, the pain was really bad before you decided to, you know, change things?
Gotcha. Okay. Starting kind of at a climax is how you do it, because we're not creating a story like a book. We're creating a story as in copywriting. We're trying to create a story where the subject line is going to get them to open that email, or that first line of that Facebook ad is going to get them to stop the scroll, right? So it's almost starting at the climax of the story that ends with the solution in mind.
Many movies did this through this, and I actually watched one over the weekend called The Butterfly Effect. I don't know if that was me. That was a great story. That was a great movie. And it starts at that point of high drama, which actually happens to be the ending as well. But sidetracking.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but it's Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I just remember it was like one of his first serious roles, but I never saw it. But it's cool concept. I definitely know what The Butterfly Effect is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and if you would have never messaged me, you would never have been on this podcast, and I would have never been on yours.
Exactly.
And by the way, Storycell, is my episode out just so I can tell people what episode number it is, or do you know what episode number it will be for them to look for?
I can't give you an exact number, no.
Okay, in the 50s.
I'm sorry about that. In the 50s, yes.
Okay, cool. A story selling secrets. All right, so let's go into, eventually you found out that email marketing was really where you could help people out and communicate a story. And that is one of the best ways to do a story, because you can do, you know, long form copy in an email easier. Now, some people say, yeah, but the open rate of emails, like, it's going down and down. People don't really like emails. I don't really get email. I don't open my emails. And all of that is really just like, you can make that argument about, you know, I don't like when businesses post on Facebook. I don't like when businesses post on Instagram. It's like, okay, but so what are you going to do? None of them, you know? So what are some of the major things, like, when people come to you and they have initial fears of email marketing, what might you say to that, to someone who's like, I don't think I should even get into it?
Haven't had too many, but I have read that false belief quite a lot. So is it they're afraid to email their list regularly, or they're afraid to just get started in general?
Yeah, they're like, why would I start that when I should do TikTok or just nothing at all, you know, or just do whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just got this book the other day. I think you can say it. It's called Traffic Secrets by Russ Brunson.
Uh-huh.
So happy I got that. And the whole goal of the book basically is to get people onto your list, email list, because you own it. It's the only asset, you know this, Derek, that you can own in your business that's not tied to a big company like TikTok, like Facebook, like LinkedIn. They give you traffic. So you can use, but you can't actually keep it. And if things go sour one day, so that's probably one of the biggest benefits about having an email list, is that you own the traffic. That's basically what it's called.
Like, absolutely,
you have the list, you can email them whenever you want, and no one's there to take it away from you.
So what would be an example of the best lead magnets that you run? How do you actually get the email?
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
Best lead magnets, I can't give you that answer. My probably best way of doing it is just through content marketing, because and then you provide lead magnets in that area. I have multiple ways of doing it. On the Facebook group, that's one, and I promote the Facebook group through the podcast. I promote the Facebook group through my content marketing on LinkedIn. Occasionally, I'll just talk about a concept, obviously with a story, on LinkedIn, and say, if you would like more information, I might sometimes test, like, say yes in the comments or just post me a DM. And on the podcast, I also say, look, I have a free members area inside my podcast where I teach you how to write, sell, and market with emails. And then it's just basically a landing page. But I'm sorry, it's Derek. I don't have any super secret lead magnet tips for you, but basically my strategy is to use content to lead them towards either the Facebook group or the members area.
Because the members area, they have to give you an email and a password just to create an account. So that's unique right there, because most people are going to do it in ways of, like, just to run through some examples, like a giveaway, they can give you email. Great way to do it. They can do it through subscribe to our newsletter. And that's one that I really try to steer people away from, because it's just like, you know, people are not trying to, like, I want more emails. You know, that if anything, they're kind of like unsubscribing from a lot. So it does take a lot of value to get it. Yep. And then, so that's why you might do like a guide or some kind of ebook or something of the sort. Is that, do you do one of those?
It's like a very highly valuable, I give them a quick win and they can solve the problem straight away. And I also sort out the junk emails by saying, I like to email frequently. I talk about stories and I occasionally promote. If you're offended by this, don't sign up, and you have to have a checkbox on my pop-up window. And yes, I get fewer leads and I have to double opt in, but the quality is a lot better.
Okay. So for those of you who don't understand, basically what he's saying is that they're giving first name email and then they're doing an extra checkbox of like, I'm going to email frequently. So, you know, some people might not do it then. But it also makes it so they're giving their consent to getting on the email list and knowing that they're going to get more and more frequently. And you always want to be very upfront with what people are going to expect. So like, if you are just going to email once a month, you can let them know that and just kind of let them know what to expect. And that was something like in my sales job, we really, like, the best way we could prevent unsubscribes is when we got a sale and we said, hey, you're going to get an email from me. It's mostly going to be recipes, but make sure you don't unsubscribe, because every once in a while, we're going to let you know when we're in your area for service and blah, blah, blah. And like giving them that reason and that notification on the front end. And something else, because I'm on your email list, is that probably after a couple of weeks or something, I got an email that most people would be afraid to send out. I can't remember what the subject line is, if you remember what it is. But it's the one that encourages unsubscribes. Tell me about that.
You're on my hit list. I think I had that. I split test with something else. But I remember there has been a certain chunk that just has not opened since I did that that Facebook group launch. And I was like, okay, this is just clearly sending down my sender score, with a huge chunk of people have not opened an email for months. And so... yeah, I just sent, look, in a polite way, if you've opened this, well done, because you're not going to be hit off my list. But if you hit reply to know you're extra special, because if you hit reply, it always tells Google that it's like a real legit email address. Mm-hmm. And then basically I just resent that email a few times to people who didn't open it, like one chance, two chance, three chance.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Cut. You're cut.
And then you manually go in and unsubscribe, or how do you do that?
Unfortunately, this round, the pain, I was like, sweet, ActiveCampaign's going to have a tool to just remove these people, but I had to manually do this. And I was like, okay, there's got to be a better way. And I did look up on YouTube, and there is a better way where you can just set up an automation. When they come in, it just gives them a tag every 30 days if they haven't done it. And after 90 days, if they don't have that tag, they're removed.
Got it.
I learned the hard way.
Got it. Okay. I know how to set that up in ActiveCampaign just from you saying like how the tags work and stuff like that. And if you guys don't understand, don't worry. Like if you haven't started email marketing yet, don't get worried about like the super technical stuff. But essentially what you were saying is sender score, because that's really why you were doing it. And sender score is basically your engagement rate, like on Instagram, like the likelihood that people are going to get the email delivered. So for someone who doesn't know about sender score at all, tell us a little bit about what it is and just some of the metrics that impact, essentially, as you guys know it, the engagement rate of emails.
Yeah. Okay. It's something you really want to nail. I'm not a deliverability expert, but it's like a really unsexy thing that is probably more important than most other things. Because if you can't deliver the email to the inbox, who's going to read it? So obviously, if people are frequently opening it and not deleting it, that's a really important thing. Or if they're just straight up deleting it before when they receive your email. Yeah, that's a big red flag for the internet service providers. if you're constantly hitting the promo tab, I believe that's another red flag. Mm-hmm. And that's really easy to fix. If you don't understand what I mean, okay, when you might occasionally see in your Gmail, I'm not sure if you have updates and you have like the regular thing. Those are your legit emails. But if you keep in the little green tab promo, if you keep getting emails from someone there, that's like basically a glorified spam box. No one checks that. If you keep sending it there and you're not testing for certain keywords that trigger that, like the word lucrative, that triggers the Gmail promo tab. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of trigger words that just instantly send it there. So I would get a piece of paper, write these down, and just test it out. Send it to a test email before you actually send it to your list. Did they hit the promo tab? No. Test it a few times. Those are some little quick tips and quick wins your audience can use.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just a lot of words that you want to be aware of in email marketing that a lot of people probably use, like the word free, sale, win. I think discount is one of them. Like lucrative is not one I knew about. But there's just these words, the spam filters just keep catching on, and they really try to put your sales promotions under promotion tabs, and the rest of them, your regular emails, just in your like normal personal box or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And as you guys can probably all know, just from asking yourself, if you do this, most people don't go into the different tabs. Like when you're in Gmail, you'll see that there's different tabs. So unless it gets to that main one, the probability of it getting opened is so low. Yeah. But getting people to open them or even reply and doing that kind of stuff, it's just the same way as if someone likes and comments on your post. So if they do that, they're going to be more likely to see it. So that's why you do a lot of things like, you encourage like conversations, right? Or you encourage replies. What are some of the more successful ways that you've encouraged people to reply that has actually worked for you?
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
The best way is if you just keep it personal. So occasionally I might just tell a story, going for a walk, going to the gym, seeing something cool in nature, what I'm working on right now. And I'll just say, hit reply with what you're doing right now. Hit reply with what your favorite hobby is or something like that. And that's just like an easy way to start a conversation. When you ask for a salesy sort of thing, like hit reply if you want a copy of this, not often do you get a reply, but it's always good to have it in there. But it's more like the personalized, what's like caring about the other person on the side of the screen, like, hey, what do you think? Or like, what are you doing right now?
And almost a short answer question, it sounds like, from the examples you gave, at least. Like, I've realized that with comments on Instagram or like in your caption, when people say like, what's your favorite thing about summer? Like, that's too long of an answer. Like, people are like, I don't want to comment. But if you're like, what's your favorite vacation spot? And people are like, I know, like, already. And they already know the answer and they can just put it down. That's kind of what I was catching there, is like, if you can ask someone a question that they already know the answer to and they don't have to think about the answer, you're more likely to get comments and, in this case, replies.
Exactly. And the reason why, you might just think like, why the hell would you want to do that? You're secretly training your list to reply if you're asking them to do these little things. Like, can you tell me this little thing? No, there'll be a small percentage of people who reply, but the ones who consistently keep replying, then when it comes to asking for that, you know, that kind of salesy reply, like reply if you're interested in booking in a call or something like that, there's a higher chance that they will hit reply because you've trained them.
And you probably reply back to all of those replies, right? To keep it going.
It's important you do that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And guys, I really hope you're hearing, like, we're also giving Instagram tips here, because it's the same with your comments. you comment back and you ask them for a question to continue the comment thread going, because conversations with customers is what leads to them liking you. And you can't lessen the importance of just establishing real connections in your industry rather than like, yeah, but I don't know if they're actually a customer or whatever. It's just keep being good and providing value. And that's how you build like a long-term business. And it might be a long haul, and it is a long game, but eventually a lot of these tasks can be delegated to, as you know, because a lot of the clients that you work with, you know, are already established business owners who are like, I just want, you know, someone who knows email marketing to just do this for me, right? You mostly just work with established companies.
People have already got a list, they're either, it's like it's not converting as well as they hoped, or they just don't have a strategy at all.
Gotcha. Yep. And that's a lot of people too that I work with too. A lot of people have been like dabbling on Instagram for a long time, and then they, you know, want to look into, all right, it's not working.
And just a little side note for your listeners. You guys aren't dollar signs on the others. No. Yeah. So when you, especially in content, it's so important to, you can trigger more and more questions. It tells the algorithm, whatever, this is a good post. Just ask questions to the person who left a comment. And even if they replied to the email, like just ask a question back. Just not every time, not everyone will respond, but at least you have a chance of them responding.
Absolutely. Keep the conversation going. Okay, cool. So wrapping up here, I always like to say like, all right, people are like, all right, I want to do email marketing. I've got this many Instagram followers. I want to get them on email. And, you know, how do we get started? So, they want to learn how to make an opt-in page, and that really can be like, it depends on if they already have a website and all that stuff. They want to learn how to make their first couple emails as well. So real quick, let's talk about like the tech side of things, like programs that you recommend. What do you use for a CRM, and do you have an opt-in page creator recommendation, or is that just, you know, whatever you currently use for a website?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to burst people's bubble. I don't have a landing page creator like ClickFunnels or Lead Pages. Just because I don't have an offer to offset the cost. So I just built mine in WordPress.
Cool.
And very, very simple. Just like white background, headline, subheadline, bullet points, a photo of me, and two buttons to sign up. Hope that wasn't too quick.
That's just super simple. It does not need to be 1,000 words to sell them on giving you the email.
Exactly. And be upfront. It's a free offer. Don't hide it. It's a free offer. Like, it's a free offer. Tell them it's a free offer. At the very beginning. And, in terms of the tech side, don't get Infusionsoft or Confusionsoft. And Derek and I were chatting about this before. Don't get MailChimp. It's just crap with deliverability. We've read a few stats on that side, and in general, it doesn't have user-friendly features.
From my experience either. I'm glad you said that too, because it's like the number one CRM. But I was like, I've used 7 different ones, and I was like, this is the only one that I'm having to go onto YouTube to watch a tutorial on how to create like an automation sequence. You know?
Yeah. It's not easy. Like the moment you step into ActiveCampaign, it's like, okay, step one, when they sign up to your list, send them this email. Step two, delay for 24 hours or delay for 72 hours. Send them your second email. Okay. You want to create an email, create it right here. And it's just line by line, very easy. Okay. You turn on Active, you turn on the connection, which is a very simple sort of thing. Connecting that CRM to your landing page, and you're up and running.
Absolutely, yeah. So I use ActiveCampaign too. I also like ConvertKit a lot. From that, we had read this similar book, the Sell Like Crazy one, which you guys may have heard me promoting recently because it's been a big game changer for me. But it had a lot of stats listed out, and ActiveCampaign as a CRM has the highest deliverability rate, apart from, you know, that obviously your deliverability of you using the correct verbiage and not being like sale, win this free thing, you know, and saying all that kind of stuff. The actual CRM you go through all has their own sender score, essentially. So That is rated the highest, and it is my favorite just for simplicity of use too. So then opt-in page, I've created them on WordPress. I've created them on ClickFunnels, but I also have an offer in ClickFunnels to sell them after, like you were saying, to offset the cost, because, you know, ClickFunnels is $100 a month at the minimum plan. So yeah, if you're looking to just create an opt-in page for emails and not sell them something after, you don't need that, you know, extensive of a software, but WordPress is free. You just need the domain correct, and then you're all set.
Yep. And, you can even do Active Campaign as an opt-in sort of page. You can customize it. You can have the text and checkbox, like I said at the start, if you just want to send to that. There's free ways to do it if you don't want to pay that $100 a month just to collect an email.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can even make it in like Google Form too, but it's just not going to be automated, and you're going to have to manually do it, like if you're trying to make it free. So then first couple emails, do you have a basic template for your first few emails to welcome someone to your list?
Yep, totally. Okay. Hoping we just click pause for a sec while I get the first six steps that you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Cause I sent this as a cold email to someone and they were interested, and I had the six steps there. Okay, cool. All right. So for your listeners, to create a welcome email, it's really important that you have a brief welcome. You kind of want to tell them what they're in for the next few days, and telling them that you're going to be emailing them something. And I always like to tease with some bullets of what to expect, like really curiosity-based bullets inside of that email. And I ask a few questions like, what are you struggling most when it comes to, and then like insert your best sales detective question that's relevant to your business.
Okay.
And like I said, it's tease what's to come a little bit more, encourage for a reply, like ask for that question, ask for a reply, and then have a strong PS. And that PS is like, in the tomorrow's email, I'm going to be talking about, and then you insert your benefit with a curiosity spin to it.
Uh-huh.
So keep on the lookout for this subject line. And then that's basically what I would do in the opening email.
Okay.
Not too over the top. You know, you deliver them your lead magnet, but you're trying to get them to reply to that question. That's really important.
And then you're just like really selling, like, these are the free value that you should be expecting, and letting them know of the future value they're going to get.
Yeah. Teasing out those benefits, those what's coming up next. And then those next ones are going to be slightly story-based. And then you're just talking about it. I'm more than happy to go into, say, like what that email looks like.
That's a general, we got the general format. Is there more you want to expand on that?
Yeah. So always, what I like to do to hook people in is that you have a subject line that's kind of like, what the, like, it's really, really strange. And your lead line is so important. So the first two sentences, kind of have to like either satisfy the subject line or just get them to be like, I have to read the next sort of next few lines.
Uh-huh.
And then that's what a story is really good for. It sucks people in with this curiosity. And then like even just simple lines like, and if you keep reading, this will help improve your email conversions. If you keep reading, this will help your Instagram marketing. And then you go to the next bit. And then the next bit, tell the story. You want to kind of really bridge with a concept. And so it's one thing to tell a story, but you can't just tell a story for the sake of telling a story. So it's always good to have an end objective of what you're talking about and how it's relevant to your story. And that's what a bridge is really important. So you have your story, it's related to what you're talking about. And I love to say, here's the thing, or here's the truth. And then you talk about your segue, and then that's when you might have your link for, say, a call, or it might be to a video or whatever other call to action you might have.
Okay, cool. So that's like the opening email. And then are the next ones kind of still just going to be based off of more your market, what it needs and everything? Those ones might not have as much of a format to them, or do those have like a concrete objective as well?
Yeah. I kind of skipped over the details. All right. So each email along the way is going to be a kind of like an objection or a false belief that the market might have. And then you're using a story basically to make them believe that whatever they were thinking before is not true. So there are many, many false beliefs. Like, does the thing you actually do work? Can I pull off what your thing is actually doing? So that's an internal belief. Or do I have the time? Do I have the money? Do I have the resources to make this happen? And there are many, many different stories you can revolve around that. And I always, always try and keep an open loop with the story. So if one story can connect to the other one by not telling you the ending, then that's a really good way to hook people over to the next email.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you're bridging what you're talking about. You're always making it around getting people a result that they really want and just leading with that benefit. So like an example for the email marketing world would be, you know, the 7 hacks to make sure that people open your emails. Like if that's the subject line, well, dang, that just works on me to open that email, you know, but you're really always hooking and you're tying it into the result that people actually want. So it really is just all about value. Just like growing an Instagram following is really about the pages that you follow are the ones that are providing you with the most value, whether it be entertainment or actual education. And you're just doing the same thing with email marketing. And then you're also trying to get rid of the false beliefs that might lead them to, like, let's say it's an objection, right, that you're handling for the end goal. So like,
exactly.
If your end goal is to, I keep using this example recently because I just bought blue light glasses like a couple weeks ago, and it's just like an easy example in e-commerce. So like it could be, like the thing that they might have about it is, oh, I don't know if those blue light glasses are actually going to help me increase my sleep. And it would be like an email about, you know, here is a story from Shelly who could not get to bed and she bought the blue light glasses when she watches TV.
She was skeptical that these glasses wouldn't work until a friend told her to try it on. And then, you know, one night she tried it on and the next morning she woke up with so much energy. She got so much done. And then she realized the only thing that she changed was those glasses. Boom. There's your story.
Sweet. Okay, cool. I always like to give an example for people like, who are like, all right, like most marketers who have been in it for a while are just like, all right, then add in result and then add in, you know, belief squasher. Got it. They're very like, they know about all their things off the top of their head. So really what I would also encourage all the listeners to do is, do you know like the main results that people are looking for in your industry? And do you know the biggest beliefs that you have to squash in order for a sale to be possible so that you can kind of fill in the blanks based off of how Jules has said it here?
Yeah. And that's why you need to do the story interview framework to figure out those false beliefs and to figure out those problems and what results do they want? Because there's no point guessing. Guessing will get you little to nothing in results. And it might be a massive turnoff if you just leave with a problem that's really in their face. That's not really a problem. It's just like, what is he talking about? Or what is she talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cause when you just guess, then it's just based off of like your survey data of one person, which is you, who is often going to be one of the most biased people to ask because, you know, we're the ones who own the company or are trying to sell the thing. So now is that 4 things at the beginning that you gave us the interview story framework, or is that something else that we can
reach out to? That's the 4 things. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Cool. So Jules, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. Anything that you want to tell the audience before I just tell them, you know, where they can find you or anything like that, anything that I probably should have asked you that I might've missed?
Oh, only to promote my podcast, Derek. Okay. That's it.
Cool, man. So yeah, it's Story Selling Secrets. You've just put out episode
50. Sorry, Telling Secrets. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Storytelling Secrets, episode 50 came out yesterday. They can find you on any major podcasting platform. Listen to the episodes and you'll find all the other things that if you want, you know, additional information from Jules, I'm sure I'll tell you how to get it on the podcast. But We always appreciate as podcasters, reviews and subscribes is really how we can get the word out to other people. So leave one on this show if you've been loving it, and make sure if you're loving Jewel's show to help him out with the algorithm too. Jewel's, is there also an episode that you might say like, hey, this is like, if you're going to go check out one episode of my show, listen to this one.
Oh, I'm glad you asked this, Derek, because for number 50, I put together something special. I put together from the 50 episodes, the top five most downloaded podcasts, and I give a little rundown of what they are, and I give a snippet of the best moment in that, and I give in the show note if you want to go back and sort of go through it. So that's going to be my latest episode, a really good rundown if you just want to see what Jewel's all about and hear the best bits.
Sweet. So start with episode 50, and you can look for the interview that I did on his show about how to use Instagram stories to sell your stories, as well as we go into the engagement metrics of how Instagram stories work. And that's not something I've actually covered on the show. So you asked me a lot of great questions to uncover some info that I haven't yet to get into on my own show. But Jewel's, again, thanks so much for coming on, man. I'm going to let you get started with your day, and then I'm going to go to bed here. But thanks again, man.
It's been a pleasure, and I'm very, very grateful for you having me on your show, Derek. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. All right. See you, man. That wraps up another interview on the Instagram Marketing Secrets podcast. Thanks again to Jewel's for coming on. And as you guys know, I will be doing a recap episode where we really dive into the exact steps to, all right, I want to do email marketing. How does Instagram play in? And I'm going to bring the Instagram part of it into the equation and give you guys literal step-by-step instructions on how to get started with this. And guys, it's really important that you pick the right CRM when you're getting started. As we both talked about, neither of us are fans of MailChimp. If you've been using it for years, you're probably used to it by now, so that's fine. But ActiveCampaign is my main recommendation for getting started. ActiveCampaign and ConvertKit. And I would choose ActiveCampaign in most scenarios unless you don't have a website, because ConvertKit allows you to create opt-in pages, which is just a page for someone to give you their name and email. So if you don't have a website, but you want to get started on email marketing right away, ActiveCampaign, I don't believe, has an opt-in page creator. It just is syncing with an opt-in page. So if you are on WordPress and you create an opt-in page, then you can sync it to ActiveCampaign. But if you don't already have a website, I would check out ConvertKit, because that starts at $29 a month. And then you can create an opt-in page that is just a basic first name email template. And then that obviously automatically syncs into your ConvertKit account. So that's going to be the cheapest way to get started if you don't already have a website or some kind of opt-in page creator like ClickFunnels or Wix or something of the sort. So ActiveCampaign otherwise, then I would go with ConvertKit. I do have both of them linked in the description, and both of them are affiliate links, so it does help out the show, but you guys also get a discount from using these affiliate links. And with ConvertKit, you actually get the first month entirely free. So you can even try it out for a month and cancel it if you don't like it, but be sure to check out the links in the bio if you are looking to get started with email marketing, and stay tuned for my brand new Instagram training being debuted in the next couple of days. So just go follow me at IGM Secrets for the big announcement. All right, guys, talk to you later.